When I look back at what I thought was living, I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. And to think I ignored what really mattered, 'cause I thought the sacrifice would be too great. But when I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then. And even though it took dying to survive, I never felt so much alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live.
Not I, but Christ that lives within me.
His cross will never ask for more than I can give.
For it's not my strength but His.
There's no greater sacrifice. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live.
As I hear the Savior call for daily dying, I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Let my hands surrender to His piercing purpose that holds me to the cross yet sets me free.
I will glory in the power of cross. The things I thought for gain, I count as loss. And with the suffering I identify, and by His resurrection power, I am alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live.
Not I, but Christ that lives within me.
His cross will never ask for more than I can give.
For it's not my strength, but His.
There's no greater sacrifice. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. For all I have, so that His cross is not in vain. For I found to live is Christ, and to die is surely gain. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live.
Not I, but Christ that lives within me.
His cross will never ask for more than I can give.
For it's not my strength but His.
There's no greater sacrifice. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live.
Thank you, Brother Angel, for the opportunity to come here tonight and be with you folks. I hope I can be a blessing preaching from the Word this evening. It's hard not to stand up here and just tell stories so much. The opportunity to just talk and tell about some of the wonderful things. God's been good. God has been good. I remember Brother Angel mentioned it recently when he came up to Round the Clock in Indiana. I was graduating with, I think, the master's program at the time, and never really thought I'd be full-time in the ministry. And Brother Angel came up to talk to me and offered me a weekend job as a youth pastor, and I thought, man, that's perfect. That's perfect. Work there at FedEx at the time and come down here and work with teenagers. Man, I couldn't get any better than that. And then I remember, the thing I remember most about Dawn reminds me about that is Ben falling in his ice cream, that big old ice cream on his forehead there while we were there. That was a blessing to come here. And I remember the auditorium over there and the low ceiling and the kids, man, Luke. The skit we had where we talked about someday Luke being the pastor and Naomi playing the piano, and here it is happening. Some of you weren't here when we had that skit. Some of the older folks, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but what a blessing it was, and to see so many folks here that we love. It's hard to say that we don't. It's like having a second child almost. You have that first child. Some of you young parents, you'll know what I'm saying, and older parents as well too, I'm sure. But I'm just rambling. I'm sorry, just to get started here. And that first child, you love it so much. And I remember saying to Dawn over and over again, "How can I have enough love for another? We can't have another one. I love this one so much." And then you have that second child, and God gives you that love. Well, that's how I feel with Faith Baptist and Mesquite, our Open Door Baptist Church. Just love the people so much there and enjoy. God's been good. God has been good. God's been good. If I could say anything tonight, more than the message is just God's been good. If you could just take that away. He's been good in my life. I've had the opportunity to work with two of the greatest, I believe, youth pastors and pastors that you could work for. Why? I don't know. But God's blessed me that way. I've enjoyed it. And good people. Good people. I don't know of two better churches than Faith Baptist and Open Door. I don't know of any. Maybe it's because I don't know of any other churches. Maybe that's why. But good people in both churches. And then, to think of how we started out here. And here, the kids so grown now and older. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing. Caleb's married. Brandon's going to be married. And Andrew's no prospects. So that's just but that's good. That's good. There better not be any. All right, now, not till he gets to college. So that's a blessing. Thank you, Brother Angel, for the opportunity. And I know he didn't have to ask. He said he had a message already, and there's other men in here that could do a much better job. I appreciate the opportunity, though, to speak to the folks. And I just want to be a blessing tonight, that's for sure. So turn your Bibles to John chapter number 20. I'll start in with the message here. John chapter 20. And we'll read some verses together. Let's go ahead and stand as we read a few of these verses together and give you a few thoughts from the Scripture here. And junior church is what I love. All my messages started in junior church. So if it seems simple, if it seems a little kiddy, that's why. So they start out in junior church. For the 4 years I've been down there, they have a man already doing junior church. So I kind of missed out on that. And 4 weeks ago, they needed someone to take junior church. Well, I guess I'll have to do it. So I love it. I love it. I love it. I tell folks, I live for junior church and I run a school on the side. I enjoy junior church. I do. And I think Brother Mick does it here. That's a blessing. But that's where most of these messages come from. And that's where this one came from. John chapter number 20, verse 19. Let's begin reading there and we'll read through verse 20. I'll read it for you as you just follow along, please. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And let's pray. Father, I pray you bless now in this service. I pray that, Lord, you just give me your thoughts, give me the mind of Christ, help me to say what I ought to say to be a blessing and help. Lord, that's what you want for your people tonight. And I pray, Lord, you use me to do that. Help us to be more like you in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. growing up as a young person, and I'm not sure if this is true of every young person, but pretty close, every young person, there comes a time as a teenager that you look at your parents and you feel like you know more than they do. I know that seems odd for a parent to look at teenagers and think that they think that, but they think that sometimes. They honestly think, and I did as well, think that you know more than mom and dad. And sometimes I think it's because they're involved more maybe in the culture and they know who the latest actors are, and mom and dad, you don't know who that is, or the singers, and you don't know who that person is, and we don't follow a lot of that kind of stuff, or the newest trends, clothing trends and things like that. So young people, because they know this much information more than mom and dad, they think they know a whole lot more than mom and dad, but really that's not the case, truthfully. And so you have that attitude sometimes towards dad. I had that growing up sometimes. And part of it's because I dressed a certain way and dad dressed another way. And I liked a certain kind of clothes and dad liked his clothes. You find yourself dressing more like dad as you get older. Part of it is because when you're 52, you don't care. That's part of it. I just don't care. And that's probably where dad was when he was that age. I'm going to throw this over here. Hopefully it's off. And I don't usually take it into the church building with me. And our music tastes were different, dad's music taste and my music taste, and his clothing and what he liked to watch on TV is, you know, to me that was boring stuff as opposed to the stuff I liked to watch. And just so many differences between dad and myself growing up. And as we get older, as I get older, I get more and more similarities to dad, the way it was, even as he was, so am I. You might say, if we take that scripture there that we read in verse number 21, it says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so even so send I you." Even so, Jesus is saying that God is saying just as Jesus did, we're supposed to do the same thing. And I find myself being more and more, as I get older, more and more like dad, even so as he was, so am I. I've developed the same tastes. Things that dad used to eat and I thought were disgusting, now I like those same things. That's just, I like squash. I know some of you are thinking gross, but I like squash. Those are things when we planted in the garden, I used to dread every time the squash came out. But we had to eat it because you had to eat everything on your plate. But things like that you just didn't care for. And I like those things now. Just sitting in the living room reading. Why would you want to do that? When you can go outside and play army, when you can go outside and play baseball, when you can go outside and play, why would you want to sit around and read a book? I like to sit around and read a book now every once in a while. But that's what you like to do. And that's what dad liked to do. And even so, that's the way I am many times. We can see other ways that is mentioned in the Bible. If you turn with me here and in this thought that we're going to bring out this evening, I even catch myself saying some of the same lame jokes dad used to tell. Isn't that scary? But that's just the way it is. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse number 17. Just kind of laying a little introduction here to some thoughts for you. 1 John chapter number 4. And it says in verse number 1 John 4:17, the Bible says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." So as Jesus is, we're supposed to be the same way. And that's what it's talking about here. And look at 2 Corinthians, another verse that could parallel with that. And 2 Corinthians, and I didn't mark these, but I'll find it when you do, maybe before you do. I have a little sword drill here. Chapter number 5, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, look what it says here in verse number 20. "Now then, as we are ambassadors for Christ in His stead, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." So in His stead. So just as Christ was, so are we to be. So we could say, even as Jesus, so are we. I was up in Minnesota at Brother Hansen's house. This is Josiah and Caleb's father's house. And we're sitting there in the house and early in the morning and just sipping some coffee. And I was sitting in this little old rustic rocking chair and talking with them. Josiah, you know, probably know what chair I'm talking about there. And Mr. Hansen, Dad Hansen, said to me, "My grandfather used to rock me in that chair." And I got to thinking, wow, this is an old chair. I better not move. I didn't realize it was that old. I was afraid that if I did something, it would break, and there goes the family, you know, prized possession. But also, another thought I had was I'm sitting in the same chair that Brother Hansen's dad sat in. The same exact chair. I'm sitting in that chair. What an incredible thought. And I thought of this scripture that as Jesus was here, so and what he did, so are we to do the same things. The Bible says, even so, in verse number 21, read it for you quickly here. The Father sent me, even so send I you. So just as Jesus was sent, so are we. And just as what Jesus had to accomplish down here, so are we. So just a few thoughts about that this evening, even so. Number one, if we look at Luke chapter number 4, this is point number one, Luke chapter number 4. Even so, we have the same Bible. Look at Luke chapter number 4. Same Bible, a different language, but the same Word of God. It has not changed. We still have the same Word of God. Luke chapter number 4. Look at verse number 16. It says here, Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophets Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. This is the same book. This book that Jesus preached from here is the same book we have today. There's no difference. It's the same Word of God. The same Word of God that Jesus preached from, especially Isaiah right here, is the same. We can find that same scripture. It's the same book that he had. Even so, what Jesus had, we had the same thing here today. We have that same Word of God. And just as he closed the book at the end of the preaching service, Brother Angel will close the book many times on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or a Wednesday night, and then he'll sit down just as Jesus did here. We have the same book. Even so, that same Bible we have here today. We use it in our Sunday school classes, that same Bible. We use it in our church services, that same Bible. We use it in junior church, that same Bible there. We use it when we go soul winning, that same Bible is used. That same Word of God is used that we have here that we're reading about in the Scripture here. Jesus said many times, he quoted Scripture. That's the same Scripture that we have today. There's no change. Even so, Jesus has left, but we still have the same Scripture here for us today. It was quoted, Jesus quoted it and defeated Satan. That's that same Scripture. He read it aloud in the synagogues. That is the same Scripture. He taught it to the teachers, and they asked him questions. That's the same Scripture, the same Word of God that we have today. We have that here today. There's no difference. Yes, it's a different language, but we need it in our language, and we have that with us here today. Jesus gave us that same Scripture. That same Scripture that's used on the mission field is the same Scripture that Jesus used back then. The same Scripture that's used in other good churches across America here is the same Scripture that Jesus had. It's the same Bible. Even so, we still have the same Bible here today to help us out. Also, he quoted it in the temple. When he cleansed the temple, he used the same Word of God. The Bible says he quoted the Bible when he went in there, has that same Word of God. He quoted it to the woman at the well, that same Scripture. He quoted it to the woman at the well. We have that same Scripture here today. He trained his disciples with this Word of God that we have here today that we can be trained with. He spoke in parables. We can read those same parables that he had. He rebuked the rich young ruler with this Bible right here. We have that same Word of God with us today. We have it in our hands today. We have it in our language. We can use and understand the same Scripture that he had and taught back in that day. Even so, just as Jesus had the Word of God, of course, he understood the Word of God. He is the Word of God, but we have that same Word of God today. That same Bible that we hear preached on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night in this church right here, that's the same Bible. There's no difference. You hear Brother Angel preach it down there in Texas. We hear Brother Ross preach it and other great men of God that we hear. Either we read it in the Sword of the Lord magazine, or we read it in the Revival Fires magazine, or we hear it on the radio. We all in different avenues, it's still the same Word of God. We have that. Even so, we have the same Bible. We have the same Word of God that Jesus had there. And we hold it in our hands, that same Word of God. Even so, we have the same gospel. We have the same gospel. The gospel hasn't changed. There's no difference in the gospel than the same gospel that he had right there. His death, burial, and resurrection, that same gospel, we have that as well. Even so, the same gospel. If Jesus were alive today, and he was going to come to, I got to get my churches right here, Faith Baptist Church. I'm so used to saying Open Door Baptist Church now. But if he was to come to Faith Baptist Church and he was to speak, he'd be speaking the same thing, the same words. These are the words of God. Right here, we have the same Bible. If Jesus were here today and he was to come to Tuesday soul winning, he'd do the same thing that we do here, because he has what? It's the same Word of God that we have, the same gospel. He'd give the same gospel that we can hear. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no other name, no other faith other than Jesus Christ. He has that same Word of God. We have altar workers. You have the same thing right here. Those altar workers, and the people come forward and they want to hear they can get to heaven. And someone takes the Bible from them and they show them from the Bible how they can know for sure they can get to heaven. That's the same gospel. It hasn't changed. It's the same gospel Jesus had back then. He taught it back then. We have the same gospel here today. There's no difference between that. Even so, we have the same gospel. That Romans road that we've told so many times, that Romans road that we preach in junior church, the Roman road that you preach in the primary church, the Romans road that you teach in teen church, that Romans road that you hear in the main service, whether an altar worker, or that Romans road that as you're going up and down the streets into the different houses, that's that same gospel that Jesus Christ had. There's no difference in the gospel. If Jesus were here and he were to tell somebody how they could go to heaven, he'd tell them the same thing that we tell them here today. There's no difference. He'd tell them the same thing because it's the same gospel. There's no difference in the gospel. It's the same thing. Even so, what Jesus said, we say the same thing. It's that same gospel that Romans wrote. If he was here and someone was to come forward and say, I want to know how I can get saved, he'd tell them the same thing. It might not be the exact Romans road what we do, but it's the same gospel. It hasn't changed. He's going to tell them that they're a sinner. That's what he's going to tell them. That's the same thing that we tell them. He's going to tell them that they're lost on their way to hell without Jesus Christ, without himself. If he was to talk to them, we'd do the same thing. We tell them the same thing. And if he was to tell them, he'd say, hey, if you believe in me, you can have eternal life. And that's the same thing we tell them. It's the same gospel. Even so, just as Jesus preached the gospel, the disciples were to preach the gospel, and we do the same thing. We have that same gospel. Even so. So even so, we have the same gospel as he had. Also the same mind. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Philippians 2, verse number 5. In our Bible study here tonight, Philippians chapter number 5. Verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We can have the same mind of Christ. We can have the same mind of Christ. We can have the same gospel. We can have the same Jesus. We can also have the same mind. We can have his mind. The Bible says right here that in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, the mind of Jesus Christ. That's what we can have. His mind, his wisdom, his thinking process, the things that he thinks of, we can think those same things. Now, we struggle with sin, of course, but we can have the mind of Christ. The Bible says right here that we can have that. Even so, just as he had a certain mindset here, we can have that same mindset as well. We can think of things that are true. Why? Because Jesus thinks of things that are true. We can think of things that are honest because he thinks of things that are honest. We can think of things that are pure. Why? Because he thinks of things that are pure. We can think of things that are lovely and good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. These are all things that we can do because he does those. He tells us that we can do them in the Word of God. We can think on these things. Why? Because we also can have the mind of Christ. Even so, just as he had that mind, we can have that same mind of Christ. We don't have to think negative thoughts. We don't have to do it. We do because of our sinful nature, but we don't have to do that. We don't have to think negative thoughts. We don't have to think critical thoughts. We don't have to be critical. I know it is our old nature to do that, but we don't have to think that way. We don't have to think the critical way. Sometimes it's the easy way to do, but we don't have to do that. We can think if the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ would never think of anything critical. The mind of Christ would not think of anything negative. That's the mind of Christ. And we can have that mind of Christ. We can. Even so as he has that mind, we can have that same mind too. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible just told us. That's how we know that. We can have the mind of Christ. Just the same. We don't have to think hateful thoughts. We don't have to think evil thoughts. We don't have to think vengeful thoughts. We don't have to think thoughts contrary to the Word of God. We don't have to do that. I'm not saying that we don't. I'm not talking about saying that we never get away from it because of our sinful nature still around. But we don't have to do that because we can have the mind of Christ. And Christ's mind does not think of those things. It thinks of true things and honest things and things of virtue and things of good report. So we can do that because we can have the mind of Christ. And we ought to be seeking to have the mind of Christ. That's one of those things. Even so, just as He did, we can do the same thing. We can have that mind of Christ. It would eliminate many arguments if we both had the mind of Christ. It would eliminate many arguments. If I have the mind of Christ and my wife has the mind of Christ, what do we have to argue about? Same mind. Same mind. We both have the same mind of Christ. The problem is, it's not always the case. Sometimes I have my mind, and sometimes she has the mind of Christ, and it doesn't always go the same way. And many times I have the mind of Christ. I'm just kidding. But many times it's the husband and the wife. Neither one really truthfully at that moment has the mind of Christ. That's why the argument ensues. If they both have the mind of Christ, if we both have the mind of Christ, there's not going to be an argument. How can there be an argument with one mind? You're not going to have one. One mind. The Bible says that we can have the mind of Christ. Even so, we can have the mind of Christ. And we ought to. The Bible tells us that there in Philippians. You're not going to have arguments between parents and kids if they both have the mind of Christ. You're not going to have an argument between parents and the children in the home if they both have the mind of Christ. Because it's the same mind. You're not going to argue within your mind because if you're both thinking the same way. So if the children are attempting to have the mind of Christ and the parents are attempting to have the mind of Christ, then you have a unity in the home there. The pastor has the mind of Christ. You're not going to have a lot of... And the members have the mind of Christ. You're not going to have a lot of problems in the church if everybody has the mind of Christ. I mean, there's not going to be a member saying, well, I don't agree with that. I know what the preacher says, but, oh boy, that the red flag comes up every time I hear that. Well, I know what the preacher says, but, boy, when you hear that phrase, Yeah, I know he does that, however you want to say that. What you're saying is, I don't agree. Well, how can you not agree if you both have the mind of Christ? So somebody's off. Somebody's not right. Now, I know we can have preferences and things like that. I'm not talking about preferences. I'm talking about the Word of God and what we believe about the Word of God. But if the mind of Christ says, this is the way it ought to be, there is no other room for error. It's got to be that. If the Word of God says you're supposed to be on church in church as often as you ought, like the Bible says, I would say that'd be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and it's open also on Tuesday night for sorting, I'm sure, and Saturday morning for bus visitation. So those are some other days the doors are open. If that's what the Bible says and the preacher's preaching that's the mind of Christ he's preaching because it comes from the Word of God. That is the mind of Christ. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. He's preaching that. And if we say anything contrary to that, we're admitting that we don't have the mind of Christ. But we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. That's one of those things Jesus said, even so, you ought to follow. And we ought to follow in having the mind of Christ. We ought to have the same mind. We're not going to be controversial as members with the pastor if we all have the mind of Christ. Now, in my mind, if anybody's got the mind of Christ, it's the pastor. I'm just saying. Okay? You know, I said this a long time ago. Probably one of the first messages I preached here, I said it at Open Door. I say the same thing. You know, in my mind, if I ever disagree with the pastor, my thinking is I'm probably wrong. That's my thinking. I'm probably wrong, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. The pastor ought. If there is a disagreement, I'll always give the pastor the benefit of the doubt. That's the way it ought to be. I believe that's the way a church member. I'm not saying a staff member. I'm saying a church member. That's the way it ought to be. Give the pastor the benefit of the doubt every time if there's a disagreement. Because somebody doesn't have. If there's a disagreement, somebody doesn't have the mind of Christ. Because how can it be double-minded man's unstable in all his ways? Jesus Christ is not going to be unstable. So somebody, if there's a disagreement on the teaching of the Word of God, then somebody's not right. Somebody doesn't have the mind of Christ. And my guess is probably the one that probably spends less time in the Bible. I know the pastor spends more time in the Bible, so he probably has the mind of Christ. So it eliminates any kind of arguments with husband and wife, both have the mind of Christ. Parents and kids, both have the mind of Christ. Pastor and members, both have the mind of Christ. Members and members. You know, in some churches, and I know it's not true here. I know it's not true at Open Door. I know it's not true in our churches. But in some churches, there are certain members that won't talk to other members. I know it never happens here, and I know it never happens at Open Door down in Texas. But some churches, I know it's shocking to hear this, but some churches, there's certain members that will not sit in the same section as other members. Why? Because somebody doesn't have the mind of Christ. Somebody doesn't have the mind of Christ. Probably both of them. Probably both of them. But it would alleviate, it would do away with controversy and arguments member to member if they both have the mind of Christ. They're both going to be thinking the same direction, both going the same way, having the mind of Christ. You won't be upsetting to others if you both have the same mind. There's no strife if we both have the same mind. There's no hatred towards each other if we both have the same mind. There's no envying somebody else if we both have the same mind, the mind of Christ, have that same mind. Pastor with the deacons. I don't know if they have deacons here or not. No deacons. So you got that one. You're good with that. That's a good way to have one mind with the deacons. Not have any. That's all right. I don't think they had them when I was here either. That's all right. I know it's just what we thought. You thought when I was here, and I agree. That's good. Pastor with the staff. No problem with the staff. No problem. Why? Same mind. Same mind. Pastor and the Sunday school teachers. A Sunday school teacher, I can't imagine a Sunday school teacher disagreeing with the pastor. Why would you disagree with the pastor? First of all, he's your pastor. This is an interesting thought. This is an interesting thought. When I vision a pastor, I vision the shepherd leading the flock. And when the shepherd says, go this way, I see everybody following. I mean, that's how I visualize the shepherd and the sheep. And the shepherd directs the sheep this way and all the sheep go. I mean, that's the shepherd and the sheep. I mean, that's how I see it. That's how I've been taught it. I even watched a documentary, and it's that way. So I think it's pretty close. So if the pastor is going one way, why wouldn't all the members be going the same way if he's the shepherd and we're the sheep? Why wouldn't it be that way? I mean, it should be. If the pastor says this is the direction we ought to go with our church, everybody ought to follow along and go that way. Will you have some stragglers? Possibly. I saw that in the documentary too. And the shepherd has to get them back in there. And they come back in. If they don't come back in, they're at the mercy of whatever's out there. And that's a scary thought. To not be following the pastor in what he believes is right for your church, or even Open Door, not following the direction of Brother Ross, I believe is a dangerous situation for yourself, for your family, whoever it might be, because you're not following like you ought to. If you're not following the shepherd knows the safe way. The shepherd knows the safe path, and the sheep follow and go the right direction. If the members have the same mind of Christ, if the staff members have the same mind of Christ, if the pastor has the same mind of Christ, the Sunday school teachers have the mind of Christ, what unity you would have in the church. It's just incredible. Because everybody's thinking the same thing, thinking the same direction. Even so, as Jesus has a certain mind that thinks a certain way, we're supposed to have the same thing. We're supposed to have that same mind. One mind, one focus. One mind, one goal. One mind, one direction. One mind, one purpose. One mind, one motive. All going the same way for the same reason. All going the same way, same mind. So we have the same Word of God, we have the same gospel, we have the same mind, also the same temptation. Look at Hebrews chapter number 4. Even so as Jesus, so us. Look at Hebrews chapter number 4. You've heard all this before. I'm not telling you anything new. But a good little study here. Look at chapter number 4, verse number 15. For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted the same way, same temptation. No different temptation. No, you know what that means? No excuse. What that means is no excuse. Same temptation, no excuse. Sin is sin then and now. It hasn't changed. It has not changed. Sin has not changed. There's no different sin in the Bible than there is today, and there's no different sin today than there was in the Bible. It's not changed. Sin has always been saved. There may be different accesses to it. There may be different ways to display it, but the sin is still the sin, the root sin. You pick up any list of sins in the Bible. Look at any. There's different books that have the list of sins in the Bible. Romans, Exodus, Proverbs, Colossians, Hebrews have sins. You look at that list of sins in the Bible, which was written quite a few years ago. Okay, we know that, 60 to 11. Okay, that's when it was printed. But even before then, okay, right? Long time ago. You look at those lists of sins, the same sins are here today. The same sins that we read in those lists are here today. There's not any that, oh, that's not around anymore. Shoo, boy, are we done with that one. You know, we might have gotten rid of some bacteria here and there that don't bother us as much in the medical field. But as far as sin, it's not gone. It's still around. And whatever list you read, you're going to find that still prevalent today in the lives of somebody on planet Earth. So the same sins of the past are still here today. All these are the sins that Jesus were around in Jesus' time. They're still around in our time today. We have those same sins today tempting us just as Jesus did in His day. Also, you can come up with any list of sins today. And you're going to find it in the Word of God. Any sin you can come up with in your mind, an idea, well, what about this? You're going to find its root. Oh, you're not going to find the Internet in the Bible. But every sin that could happen on the Internet, you're going to find there. You're not going to find TV in the Bible, any sin that can be acted out, because that's what TV is acting. You're going to find that in the Bible. Any sin is there. It's all there. The parallel is there. If you have a sin of today, you're going to find its parallel in the Bible. If not mentioned in the Bible, even portrayed or acted out in the Bible to give you a good indication that this is the wrong thing to do. It's in there. It's all in there. Same temptations are around today that were back in those days as well. Those same temptations can be overcome with the same power too. Those same temptations can be overcome with the same power. What's that power? Power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus overcame. That's how anybody ever overcame a sin with God's help and God's power. And we can do the same today. Why? Because we have the same Spirit. Even so, Jesus said, so you. And we can do the same thing. We have the same Word of God. We have the same temptations. There's the same power over them temptations. We have those as well. Same gospel we have today. Same mind of Christ we can have also. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And I think I was supposed to be done at 7:30, so we're almost there. Good. That's a joke. It's past 7:30. John chapter 14. Verse number 1 through 4, very familiar verse to you. Listen to what the Bible says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I come again, receive unto myself that where I am, there ye may be also. Where He is, we're going to be someday. Even so, Jesus is in heaven. We're going to be there someday as well. Even so. He's there. He's going to stay there forever, except for a brief time. He's going to come down here and rule and reign. I say brief time because in God's mind, that's a brief time. That's a brief time. We think it's long. We think it's long. The people that understand that the most are probably the more elderly folks in the room here. Say that in a nice way, right? Time flies the older you get. Time flies. For God, 1,000 years is like a day. Oh, that's even in the Bible. It's nothing. But it's been just a short time. But He's going to be in heaven forever and ever. And we can be there as well. That can be home for us. That can be home for us. Just as even so as it is home for Jesus. It, with Jesus' blood, with acceptance of salvation, that can be us as well. There's folks who used to sit in this room here, maybe not in this room, maybe in the other auditorium, that are there already. Amen. They're there already. Think of Mrs. Rigney. Yep. Used to sit right here. Where's she at? She's home. Amen. She's home. That same, even so, as Jesus is home, we're going to be home someday. John Hudson used to sit right back here. He's home. Amen. And we're going to have that homecoming pretty soon. All just as Jesus is there, we're going to be there someday too. He's there. Think about Nathan. Talk about him from time to time, even down in Texas. That's where he is. And we're going to see him someday. He's home. They know the reality of heaven. That's where they're at. That's where they're at. I can mention other names as well. But even so, the same home. But the same Jesus, the same Bible, Word of God, the same gospel, same temptation, same mind of Christ, same home. And what our verse is talking about here. In John chapter 20, verse number 21, he's talking about the work, the same work. The work that Jesus was sent to do, we're supposed to do the same work. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for, to do the same work. Reach as many people as we can. That's our goal. Some people do it, though working a secular job. Some people do it working through the church, but it's everybody's job to do. Reach as many people as we can. That's the work of Christ. Even so, as Jesus came to do that, we're supposed to do the same thing. Jesus came to seek and to save. We're supposed to seek and to save. Even so, same thing. Jesus came to save those that were lost. We don't do the saving, but we bring them to Jesus Christ. We're supposed to do the same work. The work that He was sent to do, we're supposed to do that same work. I used to run track. Boy, is that a long time ago. Man, if I ran track today, you'd hear a lot of huffing and puffing, that's for sure. I loved it when I was a teenager. I loved it. Some of you did the same thing. Right over here at St. Paul, that's where I first started running track. And I liked the long distance. That was me. Short distance, I couldn't get going fast enough, I guess. But I loved the long distance running. Back then, it was the 440, the 880. You know, they didn't have the meters back then. That's the yards. And ran the 440. That was the shortest one that I ran. Ran the 880. Ran the mile relay, 3 mile cross country, things like that. I enjoyed that kind of thing. The relay. Scott Denny was always first on the relay. He'd go the 220, I think it was, and then Leonard would run next, and he ran the next, I think it was the 220. And then the next guy, he ran the 440. I don't know if these numbers are right, but I think that's it. And that was Paul. And then I was the last guy. I ran the 880, the long one. And you're standing there. And Scott Denny's already run the track. He ran the track like he was supposed to, did exactly like he was supposed to do, and then he handed off the baton. And then Leonard picked it up. And he ran the track. He didn't go his own way. He didn't go in any lane he wanted to. He ran the track like he was supposed to run. He ran the lane he was supposed to run. He stayed in the race, and he ran around that track like he was supposed to. And he passed it off to Paul. And Paul got that baton and did the same thing. And I can remember being the next in line. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the same thing. How boring. Just run around a circle. No, but I'm going for a prize. I'm going to win. And if I'm going to win, I have to do the same thing the three guys did ahead of me. That's the only way I can win. I have to do the same thing. The same thing Jesus did, we have to do the same thing. The same thing our founding fathers did, we have to do the same thing. Those that led the way in Christianity. I'm not talking about just the country founding fathers. I'm talking about Christianity. The same thing. Those who have just recently gone on in the fundamental Baptist movement here in America, we have to do the same thing. It's our turn. We're on that last leg. We're on that last leg now. And we've got to get that baton and we've got to run. We've got to run the same. We've got to do the same work. Run the same race. It's up to us. We have the baton. And we have to run it. We can't veer off. We can't go off to another track and expect to win. Well, I think I'm going to go this way and jump the fence and head that direction. It's not going to work. You have to finish the race that was started. Jesus Christ started it. Even so, we are supposed to do the same thing. We've got to run that race the same way He did, the same direction around the track like He did. And it may seem like a long run. Mine was the longest of the run. I think it was the half mile that I ran. I had to run the 440 track. I had to run it two times. Seems like a long run sometimes. But if we stay on the track or stay on track like we say, we'll be able to finish. But we have to do the even so's. The same gospel. We can't change on the gospel. The same Bible. We can't change on the Bible. Watching out for the same temptations. We have to keep our guard up. Getting the Holy Spirit's help. We have to do that. We have to run the race the same way with the same tools going the same direction if we're going to finish the race right and do it just as He did it. Just a few thoughts here. Quick thoughts and we'll be done in about 2 minutes here. If one Christian can do right, all Christians can do right. If one Christian can do right, then the rest of us can. We can all do right. If Brother Angel, and I say Brother Ross for the church down there, can read his Bible daily and pray, so can every Christian. They're not different than us in the fact that we're supposed to run the race. If they can do it, then we can do it too. Everyone. I'm not just talking about Stephanie. I'm talking everybody. Every Christian can do that. If they can do it, then we can do it too. If our elderly can serve faithfully for many, many years, then we young folks can do it too. Notice I said we young folks. I'm not elderly yet. I'm getting close. But I'm not there yet. But younger folks, you can do it. You look at the older folks in this room that have been here all these years. I think, sorry, Brother Delbert. I think Brother Delbert, I'm sorry. He might hurt me when we leave. But I remember when we first came, he was going soul winning. He was working in junior church. He was working on the property. Still doing the same thing. Hey, younger folks, you can do the same thing. You can do it. There's no reason why. You've got the same Word of God. You've got the same gospel. You've got the same mind of Christ. Yes, you're going to fight the same temptations. You've got the same heavenly home to look forward to. You've got the same things even as Christ had. You have those same things. Just keep it on. Keep on going. Take the baton and keep going the same direction. Go the same direction as Mrs. Lewis, and go the same direction as Brother Griffin, and go the same direction as Brother Nemeth, and go the same direction as the folks, Brother Payne, the folks that have been here for years. I can't even name everybody here. But follow them. That same direction they've been going. I know it seems monotonous sometimes, going around the track like a gerbil in a cage. just going around a circle? Yes, but that's the race. That's the race. What's going on over there is not part of the race. This is the race. So let's grab the baton. Let's hold it firmly. Don't drop it. That was another thing. Newendank? Our coach. He used to drill it into our heads. Do not drop the baton. Because if you drop, you have to stop. You go back and pick it up. If that happens, you go back and pick it up and go on. Because the race is still going on. The race is still going on. We've got to follow the elderly. They've done it. And if others can do right, we can do right. If others can read their Bible and pray daily, we can read her and have a relationship to Jesus Christ. We can do the same. If the elderly can serve faithfully for years, we can serve faithfully for years too. And if others can go through tragedy and hardship and stay true to God, so can we. If one person can do it, anybody can do it. If one Christian can do it anywhere on planet Earth, then every Christian can do it. Because we all have the same mind. We all have the same gospel. We all have the same Word of God. We all have the same Jesus. It's all the same. The race is the same. So if one person can do it, anybody can do it. But unfortunately, it's our choice that gets in the way. It's our choice that gets in the way of that. If one person can finish strong, every Christian can finish strong. We have the same Bible. We have the same gospel, same mind, same temptation, same Holy Spirit, same home to look forward to, same work to accomplish, same potential through the Holy Spirit, and we can serve the Lord, and we can do it right, and we can finish the race. Amen. Amen. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Just a simple message, nothing that you don't know, but something I hope would be a blessing to you. God has something for every Christian to do. Run the race. Run the race. Not everybody's going to be at the same speed. I understand that. But everybody has to be going the same direction. Everybody has to be going the same direction. Where are you in the race? Where are you in the race? Are you off the track? You need to get back on the track. Are you going the right direction? Heaven forbid somebody turn around and go the wrong direction. It's going to be tragedy. Somebody's running the wrong way. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody going the wrong way. We have to be going the same direction. We have to be going the same way. And we can do that. We all have the same availability. Every single person in this room has the same Jesus, same Bible, same mind of Christ, same availability. The question is, are we doing it? Are we doing it? If the Lord spoke to your heart, spoke to you, as our custom, we have an invitation. Let's all stand. The music plays. Come forward.